another thing that makes anyone upset is having a low credit score. Well, some of us might be getting a bump, rather unexpectedly, perhaps, starting July 1st. Leslie Tain is a consumer finance expert and financial attorney at Tain Law Group, T-A-Y-N-E. Leslie, thanks for jumping on the line with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so July 1st, well, people are going to get a little boost, perhaps, right?
Yes, they are. Starting this summer on July 1st, all three credit bureaus will remove cleared medical debt from consumer credit reports. This is big.
What does cleared medical debt mean?
This means if you paid it off. So if you resolved it in one way or another, whether you settled it, paid it off, or otherwise, it's now out of collection.
So as of right now, some of this is still in your credit. I'm a little confused because if you did pay it off, shouldn't that reflect well on your credit? Or is the fact that you owed so much for so long still damaging to your credit, and that's why it'll be a good thing to get rid of it?
It's definitely a good thing to get rid of it because it'll take away the history of the negative reporting history. Mm. Remember, things are reported on the credit report for up to 7 years, negative reports. So this way, these negative reports will get deleted, and it won't any longer impact the credit standing.
So if you have outstanding medical debt and you haven't reached that settlement or you haven't paid it all back, for the most part, that will remain on.
That's correct. If you still have outstanding medical debt and it has not been resolved and it's been reported on your credit report, that will continue to stay on. It is advisable that before July 1st, which is coming up very soon, that if you can resolve some of that medical debt and you have the ability to do so, it might be a good idea in order to qualify for the removal of the history.
Is all debt considered equal in a credit report? And I guess what I'm asking is, if I owe $300,000 on a house or I owe $300,000 in medical bills, do credit companies treat that the same way in how they figure out your score?
So all debt is not created equally necessarily on the credit report. Certain types of credit reporting lines, what they call trade lines, do carry more weight. But there's a lot of factors that go into that. So when you took that out, the available credit, the type of credit, basically the history. Once you have a negative history, as in the case of what we're discussing with the medical debt being removed, once you have a negative history, meaning you haven't paid, it went delinquent, and it was reported as bad debt, that is super impactful on the score.
Regardless of what kind it was.
Yes. Well, regardless of what kind it was, to a certain extent. So, and depending on your credit score. So
okay.
Not everybody's credit score is the same. So if you had over an 800 credit score, any type of negative remark will bring it down considerably. If your credit score was on the lower end in that 640 range or lower, for example, then a medical debt may not impact it as greatly as it would if you were in the 800s.
That makes sense. I guess what I'm also asking is, did his credit card company, or the credit card, these credit companies, it's not like they look at medical debt and then go, well, you know, it was a tough year, though. That's, our healthcare system's all messed up. This one we're not going to judge you as much for. That, they don't do that.
So it's not that subjective when it comes to, the credit reporting bureaus. Now, you might be talking about somebody looking at the credit report if they're going to lend you money and they're reviewing the credit report and they might say, oh, there was a delinquency on a $25 medical debt. We're not going to hold that against you and not loan you money. But when it comes to the actual reporting, it's really much more simplistic in that, it's a more in the actuarial field where the information is computerized. So it's not like the computer and the data is that subjective.
Right, exactly. There's not a human looking over every little thing, which makes sense. If someone had this on their credit report, now they won't. Any guesses? And I guess it probably depends, again, on where your score is, about how many points you might see a jump?
So, again, that depends on the volume of the credit and the history of the debt. So you might see a small jump in the credit score, but any jump is significant because 20 points could make the difference between being in a Tier 1 credit rating and a Tier 2. So, that 20 points could be significant for one person, but for another person, it's not that significant.
Yeah, sounds good. Hey, Leslie, you don't mind sticking around for another segment, do you?
I don't at all. Thank you.
That's great. Let's get a look at traffic and weather first, though, with Mary Vandeveld. Your Money Matters for a few more minutes here on WGN. Leslie Tain joining us, consumer finance expert and financial attorney. Leslie, I got a couple questions for you, actually. You ready to go?
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
This is from the 773. If you get sent to collections, can you still pay the hospital or doctor directly, or do you have to pay what you owe to the collection agency instead?
So generally, you have to pay the collection agency. Most providers would tell you that once they've turned it over to collections, that's where it has to be paid. In more of a private doctor situation, you might have a better chance of talking to an office manager or somebody there, but it's most likely you'll have to pay the collection agency.
Okay, that's a great answer. Here's one for you, a conundrum I've had with someone that I know. I'm not going to name this person, obviously, but trying to help them out. They are about $70,000 in credit card debt, which is a big number, but you know, I'm sure you've heard of more. They do pay their minimums every month, and they've cut up their credit cards. They don't use their credit cards anymore, which is good, I would imagine. Their payments are all on time. Their mortgages, everything is fine. They have money coming in. They paid for their kids' college and all that. They do have a lot of equity in their house. It was $250,000 when they bought it, now worth over $400,000. And we're talking about it, and this person seems a little bit frozen, but like, is a home equity loan to pay off credit card debt a crazy idea? Like, I don't know, where does that person go, do you think, first?
So there's a couple of considerations. $70,000 is a pretty nice amount of debt. That's not, yes, I've seen considerably larger and smaller, but that really is dependent. Yeah, it's a lot. It's dependent on your income, so it's all commensurate. So $70,000 to one person may be different than to another. But with that said, there's a couple of things that that person could do. The challenge today is that interest rates are going up exponentially. So taking out loans and home equity lines of credit and other type of loans may not be as efficient. The question becomes, what's the underlying issue? Is it cash flow? Not using the credit cards is a good thing, because this way these people are not adding balances and not adding anything onto the balances already owed.
Right.
It would be a great idea to try to pay a little bit more than the minimum balance, minimum payments, in order to try to get the principal as much as possible. Paying only the minimum with that kind of debt would probably take probably between 28 and 32 years to pay that off. So that's a considerable amount of time and interest to be paid. So where do they go? They should consider, they can look into a home equity line of credit, but again, with interest rates going up, there's still a cost to taking any kind of loan. So when you're taking a loan, whether you're refinancing or taking out a home equity line of credit, there's a cost to borrow money. So they'd have to figure out what the cost is and whether it would be worth it. There's a couple of other ways to try to resolve it. There are consolidation loan options. If they end up struggling to pay, there are very realistic solutions to try to negotiate with the creditors, either lower interest rates or even lower the principal balances and get it paid off a little bit sooner.
Yeah. I've always asked people what they think of which works better, right? Like taking the highest interest loan or credit card and paying that one off the most or quickest because it has the highest interest, right? That makes the most sense. Or taking the smallest loan and paying it off because that gives you some momentum and it feels like you did something and maybe that will lead. I guess it depends on the psychology of the person, right, Leslie?
Yep, that's correct. That's all. Most of that is psychological based, where it's about how you feel about getting the results that you're looking for. And a lot of it is motivation. So what motivates you to pay it down? If it's seeing closing one account off and that makes you feel better about it and more that you've achieved something, then that's the way to go. There isn't one right method for anybody. I always say, you know, when it comes to debt, it's like a DNA of your debt. And it's all unique. And the resolution process and the type of debt and how you get to the end result, which is your goal, is never the same for two people. So it's really about what works best for you. And the most important piece of the puzzle is always budgeting, taking a look at the budget. How can you pay that down and use more cash-based products versus using credit? Especially these days, again, with interest rates going up, you'll see that the credit card interest rates and other factoring of money is much more expensive to borrow.
Okay. 312 asks a question. And by the way, Leslie, this is your first time on the show. You're doing such a fantastic job. I appreciate you joining us and telling us all this stuff. And if you ever don't know an answer, feel free to say so. But the 312 wants to know that they had to freeze their credit accounts because of a potential breach from a lender. They got a service. They were provided a service for free for a year to monitor their tracking, but they froze all three, right? And it was simple to to do. They want to know is how long do they leave it frozen for? Is it until they need another loan or they need someone to look into their credit? They want to unfreeze it at that point. Is there a penalty for keeping it frozen longer? Should they unfreeze it quicker?
So it's a great question. So when there is a security breach, that's offered to the consumer who's been exposed. The challenge is that most of those individuals or groups of people who are now in possession of this information know this, and they generally don't act right away. Mm. The security breach occurs right away, but the interference with the credit may not happen for a year or two or 3 years down the road when the consumer is least expecting it. So freezing the credit is one thing, but credit monitoring is super important. Whether you self-monitor, which is free, or whether you pay for a service to monitor your credit, which allows you to receive notifications anytime your credit is checked. And it is advisable that once a year you check your credit to make sure that what's reported on the credit is accurate. If you've changed addresses and moved around, now in the last couple of years, a lot of people have moved around. So you want to make sure that all of your credit agencies have the up-to-date information, that on your credit report it shows the up-to-date information, so that if there are notifications, you can be properly notified.
Can we only look once a year again at Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion for free, or are they upping the amount of times we're allowed to look?
So that was upped for the amount of time during COVID. You were entitled to receive multiple credit reports during the COVID period. As far as going forward, it is my recommendation for most people to try to at least remember to get it once a year. And that time frame I usually suggest is around Halloween, since it's scary and most people are scared to look at their credit. It's a great time to pull your credit and just double check and make sure that what's reported is accurate.
Leslie, you'll come back again, right?
I absolutely will. Thank you.
Oh, such a great stuff. And I want to have you on and have a whole show about debt and have people to call. I'll tell you what, we'll work on that offline, Leslie. All right, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.